Okay, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Never met him, though. He wasn't a good friend of mine. Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah chapter 18. Let's go there instead. Jeremiah chapter 18. I want you to notice something in the very first verse. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord said something. And it told him what to do. Do you see that in verse 1? Look at verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down. Aren't you glad Jeremiah did that? Somebody give Jeremiah an attaboy there. Attaboy, Jeremiah. He heard God's words, and he did them. He heard the word of God, and he did them. This is a critical piece to what we're going to talk about today. It's no mistake, obviously, that this is in this passage. Because then it says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel." Now, I want you to notice something else. Did Jeremiah know what the potter was making? He had no idea. He had no idea what he was making. And sometimes you hear that wheel spinning with someone's life, and you look over there, and you see something going on. You have no idea what God is making another person into. We have no idea what God is doing the majority of the time. Then it says this, "And the vessel that was made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." And the Bible says here that the potter did not throw away the clay. Hello? He didn't throw the clay away. A beautiful song by that name I heard many years ago. He doesn't throw away the clay. And here he just makes it again. "As it seemed good." Now watch this. "As it seemed good to the potter to make." Whose prerogative was the design of said clay? The potter's prerogative. Say that right out loud. Potter's prerogative. Verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel." Then he goes on and he talks about, he literally has to take that clay, and he uses the word destroy there in the English. But what it means is he literally has to start over again. And sometimes the clay is marred. Sometimes you and I resist the work of God. Sometimes we are disobedient to the work of God. But see, I want you to notice two things as we talk about this morning. Number one, God did not throw Israel away. God did not throw the clay away. But the most important thing I want you to notice is that the potter's prerogative is what determines what the clay becomes. I want to do this. I want to do that. Menzel talked about this morning, strong desire. I want this, and I want to do that, and to be that, and to have this thing. And it is not my prerogative. Jesus said this in John 20, 21. He said, "As the Father sent me, so send I you." Say that right out loud this morning. So as the Father sent me, say, as the Father sent me, say it. So send I you. This is one of the most loaded verses in the Bible. Because what Jesus Christ is saying there is God determined what I would do. The Father determined what I would do, where I would go, and what would happen to me along the way. Where I would go, what I would do, and what would happen to me along the way. And Jesus is saying, so I'm going to send you where you should go, what you should do, and what's going to happen to you along the way. It's God's choice to use us as He so desires, as God is inclined to use us. It is His determination, not ours. Not ours. I would much rather be doing something else most of the time than what God would want me to do. And I know you are the same way. Why? Because you are breathing and you're living in a human body. John 9:20 says this. Romans 9:20-21. Look at Romans 9:20-21. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have the power over the clay? See it? How many are reading that verse right now in your Bible? Oh, two people, good. Are you reading it, John? Romans 9:20-21? I want you to look at it with your precious little eyes. I'm going to read it again. John 9:20-21. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? Watch this. From the same lump, to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. I say, what does that mean? Well, here's what that means. Some pots were used for drinking water. Some pots were used for the elimination of water. That's what the original is bringing out. That's the context here. There were house pots. I don't have to get any more descriptive than that, do I? God, how many understand what I'm talking about here? You know, what is it, American Standard? They make sinks and toilets. It's up to God what He does with us. Now, I'm not saying that you are let me tell you what I am saying. I'm saying that God may use you periodically for things that you think are not really where you should be doing. And the question then becomes, how does God call us to things? Because I am of the strong opinion that every single believer has a call, but it's not what you think it is. I want to talk about your calling and what God's prerogative in your life may be. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I got the wrong verse. See, I wrote this down so fast today. Is it 2:10? It is about, the verse I'm looking for is about the holy calling that you and I have, first of all. All right, thank you. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. Verse 9. This is what happens when you rush. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. Look at this. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace and his prerogative, he calls us. How many understand that today? I'm going to really drive this home. This holy calling is universally a call for every single believer. You have a holy calling. And that holy calling is to live before God in a manner that glorifies him. It's a holy calling. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 3, know that the Lord has set apart for himself he who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call on him. But look at this, verse 3. The Lord will set apart. What does it mean to set something apart? Separate it. Let's say I've got two bowls. I have two purposes for these two bowls, similar to the two purposes described earlier in this morning's message. I'm going to set one of those apart from one thing, and I'm not going to use it for both. Hello? Ew. Because one of them is for one thing, and one of them is for the other thing. And never the twain shall cross uses. And I'm going to pay close attention to which one is for which one. I will probably pick two different colors. I might even use my Sharpie and write something to distinguish what the use is for. But I'm going to set that apart, and that's what that's used for. And I'm not going to make a cake with one of them, and I'm not going to mix my eggs in one of them. I might do that in the other one, but I'm never going to use it for that because that one is set apart for something alone, and that's it. How many understand this morning? Isn't this a wonderfully edifying illustration? How many of you feel terrifically inspired this morning by this message? Two people, the two lunatics in the church. All right. This is what it means to be set apart. I have set you apart. God has taken every single one of us and set us apart for his use. His prerogative, his use, what he wants to do with us. Shall the clay say to the potter, hey, wait a second. I don't like this use. Hey, wait a minute. Why are you using that pot for this and this pot for that? Why does she get to do that? And I have to do this. Why does Mary get to do that? And I have to do this. Why does, what about John? And Jesus said to Peter, what? What is that to you? You follow me. You follow my prerogatives. You follow my intentions and wishes and calling. And it is a holy calling, and in Hebrews 3:1, it is a heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. So holy calling means this is a calling that means that sets me apart for God's use. That's the purpose of the word holy calling. And the idea of the heavenly calling is the same thing that we see in Colossians chapter 3, where it says, set your affections, set your mind, put your desires on heavenly things. A high and heavenly calling. The world is grabbing at us all the time. The world is vying for our attention all the time. The world is playing on our emotions all the time. The world is playing on our desires all the time. The world is triggering our lust all the time. The devil is attacking our mind all the time. But we have a high and heavenly calling, of which when we are aware of it, it insulates us from this amazing drudgery that we can be dragged into by the world. And I say drudgery because if you've ever been dragged into worldly things when your mind should be on heavenly things, you would know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a verse in 2 Timothy that talks about a soldier not getting entangled with the affairs of this life. See, boy, you know, in America, we are all so entangled. That word entangled means braided like a braid. It could also refer to being tangled like a fishing line or a fishing net. But, you know, everything about us gets so entwined in the world. Thinking, vocabulary, ideals, goals. We have a universal call. Some of the aspects of that universal calling, that high and heavenly calling, are as follows. We've been called out of darkness in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Here's something that we've all been called to universally. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that just a call for special Christians who work with the poor? Or is that a Bible verse intended for every one of us to honor? It's a rhetorical question, obviously. If I see my brother and he doesn't have food and I do nothing, it says in James, my faith appears to be dead, and likely it is. Hello? Very famous verse, I'll say famous, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown me, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. That's a calling. That's what we're called to do. We are called to speak out for those who are speechless, who have no voice. I can think of many things. I think of the unborn. I think of those that are in places where they don't have a voice in their governments. I could think of a lot of places where people don't have a voice. And then to do justly. As a business person, do justly. As an employee, what does it mean to do justly as an employee? Have you ever thought about that? Your call in your job is to do justly. How about loving mercy? How about walking humbly in your job? I have a calling, it's universal, and applies to everybody, that's part of universal, and every part of my life. I am called to be humble, summoned to be humble, told to be humble in every part of my life. What's another part? What else are we universally told to do by God? And that's what we're talking about. What are we told to do by God? What does the Word come and say to us like it said to Jeremiah? Well, the Word of God comes and says to me, seek first the kingdom of God. And all this other stuff, I'll take care of all that. You focus on the kingdom of God. Paraphrase Matthew 6, 33. How about this is a universal calling for all of us. Preach the gospel in every nation. To every creature. You are called to that. I am called to that. When I say called, what am I saying? I'm saying the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said something, and he did it. That's what calling means. Now, here's an important part of this. 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk and so ordain in all the churches. Now, this is talking about marriage, but the principle is very good and it's very important. And this is a reflection, and it could be read in light of Ecclesiastes 9:10, where the Bible says, whatever your hand finds it to do, do it with all your heart. Whatever you're doing now, do with all your heart. This is where I begin to determine the specific direction of my calling. I start right now. Listen to me. This is important. I hope you understand this. This is one of the most important things you're ever going to hear about the call of God in your life. I promise you. We spend a lot of time thinking about, okay, Lord, what am I called to do? And we think about something in the future. I want you to think about the present. What am I called to do right now? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly, seek the kingdom, preach the gospel, study to show myself approved, all those things that the Word of God tells me to do in the right now. Then I look at this verse in Ecclesiastes 9:10 and in 1 Corinthians 7:17, and I realize right now I'm working in a factory. Right now I'm working at a job. Right now I'm pastoring. Right now I'm serving in the nursing field. Right now I'm running a business. Right now I'm doing this. Well, that's what you're doing right now. Then do that with all your heart and soul. Do that with everything in you right now. Because something happens when we do that. You follow this pathway of your family. Some of you, like, I was thinking of Casey this morning. Bonnie, cook. Larry, cook. Go to school. You, Luke, go to school. Off you go. Cook. Learn cooking. Restaurant. From a child. You followed something that was in your life already. You didn't hear the secret message from some angel in the middle of the night. You followed a pathway that your family kind of directed you, and you were directed. For me, I was directed in a bunch of directions, and it led me here. I don't know how in the world I got here. I don't know how the calling happened, but I'll tell you this. Along the way, God taught me to do whatever I was doing with all my heart. And when I did that, I went from one step to another step to another place to another place. Do you understand this? Family is involved. Now listen carefully. Your failure will be involved in this pathway. I failed out of one area and it led me into another area. Hello? How many understand that? Somebody? I failed in an area and it led me into another area. It led me into another career. Your friends, family, failure, friends, your friends will help guide you. Oh, don't do that. Try that. Hello? Right? Don't try that. That's not for you. Try that. Tragedy will lead you. I'll say this. Tragedy brought me to Christ. You know the story. My father dying on a golf course. Tragedy led me to Christ. Tragedy became part of the pathway. Prosperity can be part of that pathway. So you're living right now under the dictates of the prerogative of God, right? As God leads. And he says, I want you to serve, love, care, speak, preach the word of God, talk to people, do your best you can at work, lay down your life for one another, so on and so forth. You know the drill. Right? And as you do those things right now, where you are right now, God will take you to where you're supposed to be. How many understand that this morning? That's how the call of God works. Philippians 2, 1 to 4, serve one another. 1 Peter 3:15, be prepared to give an answer to those whoever asks you of the hope that's within you, right? This is part of the calling. The calling isn't I'm going to get on my knees and God's going to say,
go to Liberia.
You've heard me tell you, how did I end up in Liberia? I was asked to go. I didn't want to go. So come to Liberia. I said, okay. That was the call. God's like, okay. I didn't want to go. I went, got there, got bit by the bug. Came back, said to Karen, we're going. Strong desire. She had the same desire when I was there. She'll tell you. While I was there, she knew. Got to go. We go. Years later, we still have an impact on a decision to go that I didn't really want to do. I'd love to take credit for everything that's happened in Liberia and Ghana. Can't. Why? Didn't want to go. I was against it. I voted no. But look what God did. And I hear yesterday, I talked to Josephus, he says, I said, what's been happening there? He says, well, we just finished up Revelations class. I said, are you teaching Revelations? He said, no, we're watching your class. We've been watching it for 2-3 months. I said, who's we? He said, the church. I said, how many are in the class? He said, everybody. I said, oh, you doing it at the church in Tama? He said, no, both locations. Wow. I thought to myself, huh, I didn't even want to go. I wonder what would happen if I wanted to go. I don't know. But I all I can say is that God led that. And I've told you this before. You know when you figure out how God is leading you? After it happens. He doesn't tell you, usually doesn't tell you where to go beforehand. Usually he told you, yeah, you went to the right place after, because you look back and you see, oh, that was God. I heard Sarah in the back today. That's a God thing, whatever. I didn't even know what you were talking about. But I can tell you this, she had nothing to do with it. Very difficult to understand. You can't really explain it. It's a God thing. I don't even know what you're talking about, and I can tell you that's probably something about it. Am I right? You know, so, I mean, it's amazing. I hear things when I walk in. It's great. So here comes the body. You say, well, now, here's what else happens. In Colossians chapter 3, remember Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, God, George eats peas and carrots, Colossians. Colossians 3:15 says this, let the peace of God rule our hearts and your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Two things I like about that verse. Number one, we've been called into one body. Number two, we're thankful. Be thankful. This, of course, is the body of Christ universal. But he says this to the Colossian church and wants them to apply it locally. I can't say I'm part of the universal church if I'm not applying this locally. Everybody understand what I mean? Can you say, yeah, I'm part of a church. Where do you go? Nowhere. I'm part of the universal church. When are services? We don't have services. When do you get discipled? We don't get discipled. Is there any accountability? Of course not. When do you fellowship? Never. Oh, great church. Sounds like a lot of churches that I know. So Paul tells the Colossian churches, you're called in one body, not three or four bodies. I asked somebody one time, what church you belong to? Oh, the three or four. No. No, you're a rebel who doesn't want to be accountable to anybody, and so you church hop. Let's be honest. You're like a little Christian bunny. Little buck teeth, big ears. Leaving your remains all over the place. That's what most Christians who church hop are like, little bunnies in every way. So here is the body of Christ. You're called into one body. What happens in that one body? I start to discover how to serve. I think we make too big a deal about the calling in terms of, well, what am I called? I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know, just do what you're doing. Do what you're doing to the glory of God, and you'll figure out what you're supposed to do. How's that? That's the mysterious understanding of the calling of God that you're getting this morning in this message. I hope you don't feel disappointed, but that's just the way it is. Do what you're supposed to do now. Some people look so far in the future, they don't know anything now. We had a woman, a friend of ours back in Rome, I always asked her, what are you going to do? How are you going to serve? I'm praying about it. Meanwhile, we got bus ministry and nursing home going on, and we got Bible college going on, all this great stuff happening in the church, and she's praying about what to participate in for months. Finally, I said, do something. Just go. You can't steer a parked car. Just step on the gas. You know, it's like, I want to go on the mission field, but I don't know where to go. Well, what's the worst thing that can happen? You win souls in the wrong country? Go. Just go. You want to be a missionary? Go. Where? Who cares? Pick a spot. What's the body doing? Well, you're in Puerto Rico, Ghana, Dominican Republic, Ukraine. Where do you want to go? What interests you? That does? Good. Go. We'll see. Try to raise the money. Make a move. Go. But, you know, I want to go over there and do it. Well, how about right here? What can we do here? Is there anything to do here? What are some things you could do here? You can do music. You can clean. The grounds need work. You can help with habitat. You can collect cans. You know what? Joe DiMaggio spends hours every week collecting cans and bottles. That's his ministry. The guy's in a calling right now. You know why I know that? Because he's raised thousands, not a couple hundred, he's raised thousands of dollars, this guy. He's not here, so I can say it. Thousands. Treasurer? Thousands. Bottles and cans, a little at a time, plugging away, steady plotter, plugging away. See, that's a call. It's not this glamorous, it has so little to do with what it looks like and so much to do with what you're like. Are you interested in serving people? Can you serve? Will you do what God says? No. So you're in your job, right? And you don't like your job. I know a lot of people don't like their job. I do. Most people, if you ask them, I think it'd be, 50-50. You don't like your job. But here's the thing. What's that have to do with anything? If that's where you are, what does God say? How should you do that job? Paul, how should you do that job? With all your heart. Not all your thumb, all your heart. You should do your job with all your heart, right? Casey, what are you going to do next week? Go to the cafe and work. Do you always love it? That's right. But you do what you have to do. Why? Because that's what God's put. That's what you have to do. Why? Because it's what you've been given to do right now. And as you do what you're doing now well, you'll be given more to do. So Jesus says to these guys, he says, if you're faithful in the small things, you will be given what? Bunches of stuff. So be faithful now in these small things. This is why most 8-year-olds don't wake up one morning and get a job offer from large corporations to be president. Because they have to learn to do small things first. Right? Make your bed. Clean your room. Vacuum your car. Amen, moms? Dads? Some of you dads are slobs. I know, because I've been in your cars. Clean your car. Learn to do. Why? God has given that to you now. Why do I make a big deal? People say, you always obsess over cars. I don't obsess over the car. My car isn't always immaculate. But I'll tell you this. I know God has given things to me. And the things God's given me, I'm going to take care of them. Because they're not really mine. Hello? They're the bank's. No, they're not the bank's either. They're not really mine. So you take care of it, and you clean it, and you put it in the best order you possibly can. With all your heart, it happens. It should be done. So here's all these people wondering, what's my call? What's my call? Your call is to do now what is right and what glorifies God and what He says in His Word. This is why if you forsake the assembling of yourself together, you will miss components of your calling. Because it's in the body of Christ that the way is narrowed. It's in the body of Christ that your way is narrowed. You are given instruction through the Word of God. You're given leadership if you're humble. You're given leadership. You can let listen to me. The elders and deacons, the leaders of the church will help you if you're humble. We'll help you. If you're humble, you'll get plenty of help. If you're not humble, we can't help you. That makes sense? Can't help you. Why? Because you're not going to listen. I know many people over the years. They give, they show up to church every week. Not humble, won't listen. Try to give a little guidance. Nope, don't want it. Okay. Hey, listen, we're not always right, but we are the leaders of the church. And, you know, it's like sometimes we make dumb decisions and sometimes we say stupid things. But God uses us. And if you're humble, God will honor you for being humble. That's how it works. I was in Rome. I had a pastor go off the deep end. His cheese slid off the cracker as far as it could slide. I mean, he went off the deep end. It was a worst time in my life. But you know what? I honored him as long as he had that office. And I did what I was asked until he was removed. And then the new guy came, and he was a joy. But I learned very quickly that God would honor me for just being humble. You know, your boss may be a tyrant, Dave. Your boss may be like Genghis Khan's Christian cousin. You know, your boss may just be horrible to work for. You know what? If you're humble and you honor your boss and you're obedient, you think God might bless you? Hello? Is God capable of blessing you for your obedience? Why? Because you're just doing what you're told. You can't control what they do, but you can control what you do. And when you honor God, and when you do what you're called to do, and when you do what you're told to do, God will lead you in a path of blessing. God will lead you where you're supposed to go. I promise you that's how it works. I promise you that's how it works. All of that falls under this umbrella. Go, baptize, teach. I think that's the right order. Go, baptize, teach. All of that is the part of the Great Commission, right? So we do the Great Commission. Individually, we honor the Lord as He's told us, speaking out for those who don't have a voice. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly, seek first the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel wherever we go. We're serving one another in Philippians 2. We're loving one another in John 13, 35. We're preparing to give an answer in 1 Peter 3:15. We're doing what God has told us to do. And when we do the Great Commission together, individuals discover where God wants them, and the potter gets his prerogative carried out. Father, bless this morning. We pray You would help us to learn to be flexible and learn how to be guided by You who know best. It doesn't matter how you use us, God, how you want to use us. We just want to honor you and discover why we are still here. In Christ's name, amen.